The question today is, do angels rejoice when a person is saved on this earth? Well, of course, you're asking that question by what it's talking about here in the book of Luke chapter 15. The book of Luke chapter 15 is a three-part parable, a window through which to see truth. In other words, it talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, a lot of people today want to use that son as a backslider because of the word son. But folks, I want to tell you, he was a lost son. Because the father said, that which my son was lost is now found. And so, therefore, it talks about the sheep, the parable. And by the way, this is a three-part parable. One parable, three-part. And the sheep, the shepherd goes and leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. Verse number 7 of Luke 15 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then when he talked about the part of the lost coin, the 10 coins and one, and the woman lost one, she swept the house. And when she found it, verse 9 says, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And then the scripture says, likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Now, a lot of people will quote that and say that an angel rejoices. The angels rejoice when a soul is saved. You'll hear that quoted in churches a lot of times. But that's not what the Scripture said. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, who is that? Well, I think if we'll stop a minute and study the Scripture, the reason the angels can't rejoice over salvation, it's not them rejoicing, just joy in the presence of them. But the reason they can't rejoice is because they don't understand. They've never had to be redeemed. They're not fallen. I know there's fallen angels, but they fell. And they're cast, of course, out of heaven after they followed Lucifer. But the rest of the angels do not have the sinful nature. They were created by God, and they don't understand. In fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, when it's talking about salvation for the saints of God, it said, of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them did signify, which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. They desire to know about that, but they can't, because they'll never have to experience being saved by grace through faith. Therefore, they don't understand when a sinner is saved, and how can they rejoice? But the Bible says, likewise, verse 10, Luke 4, 15, there, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So there's joy in the presence. Now, who is that joy? Where does it come from? I don't know exactly what the saints know when they're on the other side. I know we've used for illustration in time past about those who prayed for loved ones to be saved, and yet they died before they were saved, and they were saved, and so absent from the body is present with the Lord. And it may be that God sometimes reaches over and tells those individuals that so-and-so on earth got saved. They don't know all that's going on here at this particular time. For if they did, it wouldn't be anything even close to heaven. If they could read your mind and see what you're doing, their loved ones, and how they're acting, and how they're, and things that's going on after they've departed out of this life. But yet, they may be told by the Lord, when that one they prayed for, they may just be told they got saved. And I'm sure they'll rejoice over that because of what the Lord's done for them. But that's not even what the Scripture is really saying. In context, this is a three-part parable here. And as we see that, see this here, we realize that as we think about that, being a three-part parable, who rejoiced when the son came home? It was the father rejoicing. The father's the one that rejoiced. And so therefore, we know that the father, well, that which was lost, my son which was lost is found. Now, he'd been waiting for that son to come to the end of himself, but he didn't go and bail him out. He let God do a work in his heart, bring him to the end of himself, and he came home and made a choice, said, I'm going to go home to my father. And when he came home, the father fell on his neck and kissed him and rejoiced. Rejoice. So when the rejoicing it's talking about here, it's not the angels rejoicing. It may be that the saints of God that's on the other side do rejoice, but the main one rejoicing here is the Father. Is the Father's rejoicing. And of course, probably the Son is rejoicing as well with you, because the Bible said in Hebrews 12:2, he said that he endured the cross, Jesus did, before the joy that was set before him. And every time a person saved receives Jesus' blood as his sacrifice, as his propitiation, his sacrifice, his substitute, his mercy seat, every time that happens, I'm sure the Lord is overjoyed, and no doubt rejoicing along with his Father there in heaven. They're seated there together, so they each know what's going on. And so he's rejoicing, and that's why he endured the cross. The cross wasn't joy. That's not what the Bible says. But he endured the joy, the cross, knowing that there was going to be joy out there in the future when he'd have saints of God that he could show the devil that he didn't get them. He can also have saints of God that be saved and sinners saved, knowing that they'll be lost. That which is lost is found. And therefore the joy would be great in heaven, and no doubt would spill over into the saints of God that's already there in soul and spirit on the other side. But the thing about it, too many people want to take something that somebody else said and said, well, said just a person saved, the angels rejoiced today when they got saved. No, no, no. That's not what the Bible says. And so the question was, do the angels rejoice when a sinner is saved? And I'll have to say no. The angels do not rejoice because they do not understand the gospel of Christ. They do not understand the fact of being a depraved. They don't understand what the individual understands. You see, and by the way, we ought to rejoice when we're saved. And that doesn't mean we've got to jump up and down and jump pews or anything like that. But there ought to be a joy in our hearts when we're really saved. And if we are, there will be a joy. And there ought to be a joy of the other saints in the church, of those that saved by the grace of God, because they know what they went through. They know that awful conviction of the Holy Ghost as He lays blame on them, convincing them and convicting them of sin, of righteousness and judgment, as John 16, verse number 8, 9, 10, and 11 brings out. And so therefore they said, I've experienced that. I know what they're going through. And that's why people ought to be able to stay with people as the Holy Ghost is convicting them, knowing that it's going to take a completed work of God. Please don't short-circuit that work. Let God finish that. Over in the island of Lewis, when the man was there, the preacher came there in the early and late 1940s or early 50s, whenever it was, I don't know for certain the date. And there was a woman that he dealt with, a man's husband, and anyway, the man, they'd been trying to get him to come to church. He finally came to church one night, and it was so crowded that the only place he had that he could get to even sit down was kind of like on the steps that led up to the podium, right up front by the preacher. And when God moved that night, he fell under Holy Ghost conviction. And some preacher went over to try to talk to him about the scripture, and his wife said to the leave him alone, let him stew, let him stew, let him stew. Our people today, listen, we need to let people stew under Holy Ghost conviction so it'll be complete in the area of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when they come through that, they'll give God the glory. They'll be thankful. They may not jump up and down, but there'll still be joy. Because of them being saved in their life, there'll be joy in the saints' life in the church, or those that was around them, those that may have prayed for them, and even there'll be joy, I believe, there in the presence of God and the Father and God the Son, as He announced the fact so-and-so got saved, and the saints of God rejoice because they know the value over one soul. You see, we might rejoice if we had a big move, so-called, of God, and hundreds moved. Well, I tell you, many times that's nothing but just mass confusion instead of mass evangelism. But the thing about it is, we might rejoice over a large number and not say so much over one. Well, I want to tell you what. Bible says, what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? We ought to rejoice over one, because one soul is worth more than all the world. That's why I'm reaching out for one. I'm praying for one. I'm going for one. And when that one is saved, there's joy in my soul for that. And if I'm on the other side, I believe that the Lord will announce it to us and we'll have joy in the presence of the angels. But I do know that the Father and the Son is there in the presence of the angels. And I'll guarantee you, they're having joy. They're rejoicing over that. Your death on the cross of Calvary, Lord Jesus, was not in vain. Souls came and was washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord for that. And they'll joy over that. The Father will joy. The Son will joy. And the soul and spirit of the saints gone on the other side will joy if the Lord does tell them. And I believe He really does tell them, because I know He talks. They know what's going some things on earth, because in Revelation chapter 6, when the seal number 5 is open, they said, how long, Lord, are you going to go on with this? And in other words, how long are we going to have to suffer? Now, they wasn't suffering, but they died martyrs and their souls were under the altar. But you see, it wasn't long after that. He said, mount up, we're going back. And the soul and spirit came back with the Lord to get their body. So, you see this joy in the presence of the angels. Please, you ever hear somebody say that the angels rejoice when a soul is saved? That's not so. And let me say something else about this thing of angels. Whenever your child dies, he doesn't become an angel. People say, well, my little child died and he just become an angel in God's presence. No, no, no. He's a saint of God. And in other words, he's safe till he reaches the knowledge of accountability. And he doesn't become an angel. No, no. There's no angels up there that's of human being transferred into angels. And so may the Lord help us to understand a little more about this and rightly divide the Scripture and quit jumping on tradition. Tradition's killing us. People say things and others follow it just because they say they've got confidence in those people and they don't take time to check it out. So I just reiterate and say again and again, the angels do not rejoice whenever a soul is saved. The saints of God rejoice, I believe, on earth. That individual is rejoicing, and the Father's rejoicing, and the Son's is full of joy because the Bible says he endured that cross for that one. So that they're for the joy that was set before them. And you can say, look here, demonic forces, if you please. I don't know how much correspondence there is that, but he'll put them on display in the heavenlies and say, look, this one came through victorious, all because of my blood. To him be the glory. He's the one rejoicing. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air. Or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.